This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Like, I came to church. I didn't come to... But we're going to have church today, amen? So I'm excited to just talk to you this morning and continue. We started a series last week entitled The Blessed Life, all right? And if you were here last week, we talked about the main phrase that everything is a seed. Everything we do is a seed. Everything we do for the Lord is a seed. It's planted. It's hoping. It's believing that what we plant, we're going to reap. It's going to come back to us. We realize that our words can be seeds, that our thoughts can be seeds. Our actions are seeds. Everything we do bears a fruit. And they're seeds, and that's what we do. The money we sow will come back to us in fruit. Like if I go to the back patio, you know, the back field back here, and I take a kernel of corn and I plant it in the ground, that field, eventually, it's going to bring forth a harvest. Eventually, it's going to produce what it is that I planted. It's one of the principles of God. It's one of the principles of the blessed life. Everything is a seed. What you plant, what you sow, you will reap, right? So many say, well, hey, Pastor Heath, it's Easter. It's Palm Sunday. Why are we talking about sowing and reaping? Why are we talking about the blessed life? Why are we talking about giving? Trust me. I've sat there and I said, Lord, why would you have me preach on the blessed life? Why would you have me talk about giving on Palm Sunday and leading up to Easter? And the thing that I felt like the Holy Spirit speaks to me, because there's no greater story of reaping and sowing. There's no greater story, there's no greater example of giving than what Jesus did for us. No greater example of reaping and sowing. He rode into the city, the people celebrating him, but he rode into there not with false pretense. Jesus rode into the city on a mission. He rode into the city knowing exactly what was going to happen, knowing exactly that he was going to lay down his life. He was going to give back to us so that you and I can have eternal life. No greater story of reaping and sowing, no greater story of giving. So today I want to talk to you about step two in our little series on how to have the blessed life. Talk about the blessed life. I was thinking as I was putting this sermon, I was thinking this week about my kids, especially when they were younger, and maybe even as they are now, but especially when they're younger, if you can think back to that. I thought back to like they would be in their rooms. They're in their rooms, and what they thought was their rooms. They were in those rooms, what they thought was their rooms. They were on the beds that they thought were their beds, playing with what their toys that they thought were their toys. Everything in their room they thought was theirs. But if the house was to burn down, guess who got the insurance money for those things in their room? Me. Why? Because I'm the owner of the house. I own the house. They think they own the room. They think they own the bed. My son thinks he owns the Xbox. They think they own the stuffed animals that are laying there. But when it comes down to it, really, daddy owns it. Dad owns it. Now, my parents did that for me, and I'm sure you did that for your kids. But this is how we do things. If my kids went into the room, if they went into their rooms and they started knocking holes in the wall, and they started, you know, shattering the windows, I don't know about you, but I'd probably come in a little upset. I'd probably come in a little mad. Why? Because they're not the owners of the room. They don't own it. They are stewards of it. So here's where I'm going with us today. If you grab this one thing, I want us to grab this as followers of Christ, as members and church people at Christian Life Center. If you grab one thing, I want you to grab this. We are not owners. We are stewards. We are not owners. We are stewards. And this is one of the principles in the blessed life. This begins to change when you grab a hold of this. This begins to change the way that we look at the world. This begins to change the way that we look at ourselves. This begins to change our relationships, especially with our finances. It changes everything. We are not owners. We are stewards. We're not owners, we're stewards. Here's a definition of a steward. It'll be on the screen for you, but a definition of a steward goes like this. A person who manages another person's property or financial affairs. One who administers anything as the agent of another or other. So a steward, not an owner. I want you to look at the Bible kind of jumps off for us this morning. I wanted to look at this real quick out of Psalms 24, verse 1. It simply says this, great scripture that David wrote. And he said this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything, the earth, everything in it, it is the Lord's. So God sums it up this way with this simple phrase, I own it all. I own it all. I mean, the reality is this, you and I are playing in God's sandbox. You know what I'm saying? We're playing in God's sandbox. He created with the breath of his mouth, this speck of dust that we live in right now. This little speck of dust that we live in. And everything in it, this whole world, it is his. Every breath we breathe, thank you for loaning that to me, God. Every breath that we breathe, it is his. Everything actually belongs to him. Everything we built, everything that we obtain, everything that we have belongs to him. What has been given to us, God owns it all. He owns it all. So not only that, James 1:7 reminds us this. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from above. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything is from him. So we may think, you ever heard this before? We may think that we are a self-made man or a self-made woman. We may think, look what all I have accomplished. Look what I've stored up. Look how I've provided for myself and for my family. But what the reality is this, when everything comes from God. You're not a self-made woman or a self-made man. Everything comes from God. Your talents, your abilities, your giftings, right? You ever heard the statement, someone says, you know, they were just born that way? Like some athletes are just like, hey, you know, they were just born with this amazing gift. They were just born that way. And I look at it and I said, not at all. It all comes from God. Your talents, your ability, your giftings, all comes from the Father above. Who we are comes from God. We look at ourselves, and maybe you've been successful in life. Maybe you've had some success. But I would say to you, you know what? Who gave you that ability? The bad news is this. It wasn't you. That's the bad news, right? The good news is ultimately God knit us together. He created us the way we are, and he's given us everything. Now, here's this scripture I just read to you, and it's reminding us that everything we have is from God. Every perfect gift is from God. We are not owners, we are stewards. We are owners, not stewards. Maybe I'll talk about it this way. Does anybody in here happen to have like a $50 bill or a $100 bill on them? Anybody at all? Roger, you got one? Okay. Look at this guy. If you need lunch money, thank you, Roger. Man, what'd you got there? You got a 50. All right. Thanks, man. I remember there was a time in church when I was youth pastoring, there was a family in our church, and they owned a sports car, a two-seater convertible BMW. And once they said to me, they said, hey, if you ever want to take Kim out on a date, you can borrow my BMW. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds really good. So we did. We borrowed this BMW. We took it out. But here's the reality of it. It was not fun. There was nothing fun about it because you know what? Instead of opening it up and see what this baby can do, we found ourselves taking every turn super slowly. Right? We took turns super slow. We parked the car in the back of the parking lot so that no one would ding it. Like we drove super slow. Like I couldn't even relax at the restaurant. I kept looking out the window, making sure someone didn't steal this BMW sitting in the parking lot. Why? Because I'm not the owner. I'm not the owner. I'm the steward of it. I don't own it. I'm just the steward of it. It wasn't my car. I was just grateful to use it. I was just grateful to be seen in it. Yeah. I was just grateful to have it, and I wanted to care for it, right? Because I was not the owner. I was the steward of it. Now, let me go back for a minute. Some of you, as I'm telling you this story about my car, can't even focus right now because you're just thinking to yourself, he just took that guy's $50 bill. You haven't been able to concentrate on one thing I've said because you just said, he just took that $50 bill and put it in his back pocket. Like maybe if you're new here, you're thinking, that pastor's a straight up thief. What if I told you before service, I said, hey, Roger, would you mind holding on to my $50 bill? And if I told him, at one point I'm going to ask you in the service, I'm going to ask you the message, and I want you to come and I want you to return to me my $50 bill. Now, some of you may say, maybe our pastor is not such a jerk after all, you know? Maybe he is such a nice guy. It's my $50 bill. I just let Roger hold it for a while. I just let him hang on to it for a little while. And Roger, thank you for being a good steward because he could have not gave it back to me. He could have just sat there and said nothing. I said to him before service, do not go to the bathroom at any point during the service because someone else will come up and hand me their $50 bill and it'll ruin the illustration. So I said, don't do that. But this was not Roger's. It was mine. And he returned it. Why? Because he was a good steward. He was a good steward, and he was not the owner. We are to be stewards, not owners, because everything we have been given to us by God. Remember John Wesley, like I heard a story, if you've heard of John Wesley, famous preacher back in the day, and during his time, he would speak at churches. He was known as a circuit pastor, a traveling pastor, and he'd ride his horseback from town to town, going from one church to the next church to preach. And the true story says one day he's riding close to home and somebody right close to his town, and somebody runs out to him, finds him. They say, Pastor Wesley, horrible, horrible tragedy has happened. And they went on to tell him, says, your house has burned to the ground. Everything in it is gone. You've lost everything. And John Wesley is known to return and look at this guy and say this comment. Kind of paused for a moment, and he said, well, God's house burned to the ground, and I guess that is less responsibility to me. Appreciate the information, and he wrote on. We are stewards, not owners. I remember walking from school one day when I was in elementary school, and we used to walk. That's before the bus picked you up right in front of your house. You remember this? I don't know if you remember this or not. Like, I remember we had to walk at least half a mile or more to school, but that's unheard of today. Maybe you never had to do that before, but I remember we had to walk to school, and we were walking home, and we see in our neighborhood smoke coming up, and we're like, wow, what's going on there? And I remember walking home, and all these cops start flying past our plastics as we're walking home, and one of them was my father in his police car. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. What's going on? And we turn the corner to walk, and we look up, and it was my house that was on fire. And I remember our house burnt to the ground. In fact, my mom almost has zero baby pictures of any of her kids because they all burnt. But the one thing I remember in that whole situation as a family is that wrapped my perspective is this. My family, I never heard them grumble over what we lost or what we didn't have. But what I did hear them say is, at least we're together. That everything else was just stuff. And stuff can be replaced. It had always reminded me that, you know what? We're not owners. We are just stewards. And here's the deal. God wants us to have an internal perspective, right? That titles, that stuff, those all are just stewards. Those don't matter. What we should own is the fact that we get to spend eternity with Christ. That's what we should own, is that we get to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's all his anyway. Anything we own is God's. It belongs to him. This perspective is a game changer. Why do we get so bent over our stuff? Why do we get so bent out of shape over what we have and what we don't have? Because at the end of the day, we are stewards, not owners. So I want to take you this morning real quickly to this scripture, and one scripture that really jumped out to me, and it's written by what I would call the richest, wisest king in all of the Bible, right? People would come from miles and miles to sit at his feet, to listen to him spew, right, wisdom. He was so intelligent and so wise. His name was King Solomon. That's how wise he was. And he wrote this whole collection called the Proverbs. And he had so much to say and so much wisdom, but he even talked about this idea of giving, this idea of owner and steward, right? So here's what he says in Proverbs 3. It'll be on the screen for you, 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. He says, honor the Lord. You know that honor is a choice. Honor is a choice. I mean, respect is earned, but honor is a choice. And he says to us here, with the first fruit. With the first fruit. And how many know the scripture kind of talks a lot about the first fruit? You can find that term throughout all the scriptures, the first fruit. What is King Solomon telling us in this real quick proverb? What he's saying is this, put God first in every area. Put God first in every area, including the area of your wealth, your money, and your finances. First fruits, what does it mean? Listen, if we go back to the beginning, I'm going to take you right back to the very beginning, right, of time. We look all the way back to Genesis, and we find Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve have two sons. One is named Cain, and one is named Abel. Cain, as we know, was a farmer. He worked the land. Abel was a rancher. He was a shepherd. He had flocks. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 reminds us this. It tells us this story of first fruits. And it goes like this. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he didn't respect Cain and his offering. Now, I remember reading this, and I was a little confused. Like, I had to ask myself questions like, well, I mean, is God a carnivore only? Does he not do the vegetarian thing, you know? There's got to be a reason that he respects Abel more than he respected Cain. Like, I tried to use that on my mom when I was a kid when she'd say, eat your vegetables. And I was like, Mom, it's in Scripture. God does not like vegetables. Cain and Abel, right? So Cain brought vegetables to the Lord and God denied it. Doesn't respect the offering. Abel brought the meat and his offering was received. I was confused about it. What is God saying to us? I'm confused by the action. But if you look at the scripture, it starts out with this one line. It says, in the process of time. In the process of time. What's the difference? For Cain, it was not the first fruit. It wasn't his first. In fact, it was his leftover. It was his leftover. And so here's the issue with the blessed life. Here's a couple things I want you to understand. Number one, it's faith when it's given first. It's faith when it's given first. Now imagine in those days they would harvest once a year. The farmers would do all their work, just kind of like you're seeing right now in Montana. They get things prepped, they do all this stuff, and they would harvest once a year. They would grow the crop, and they harvest it. And the first thing they would do is they would give the first portion of that crop to God. But here's the key. They'd give that first portion to God, but here's the reality. They only harvest once a year. They gave it to God not knowing if they would have enough to last through the whole year. It was faith. Not knowing if they'd have enough, they still gave that first fruit to God. The shepherds back then, right, as soon as an animal gave birth to its first offspring, they would sacrifice the animal to the Lord. Not knowing how this one animal could profit them in the future. They still gave it to God. Faith, it's faith when it's given first. Now here's the reality. God's people would do this and their livestock would multiply. God's people do this. Their crops would last all year when they gave the first fruit. And it was a sign to the rest of the world that they served the one true God. It was a sign to the rest of the world that the rest of the world should serve him too, that this God provides. So for us, what is it? Most of us aren't growing our livelihood in our backyard. Maybe there's a farmer in the room, but for the most of us in here, we're not doing that. Most of us in here aren't raising livestock to provide for ourselves for the rest of the year. Maybe some are. But for the most of us, our supply comes in the form of a paycheck or a pension. But yet the same applies. God asks, will you trust me with your first fruits? Will you trust me? Right? How many of you ever hold somebody, maybe think about it for a minute, you ever hold someone in high esteem, or maybe there's a sports star, famous author, actor, I mean, maybe there's somebody that, you know, that you hold in high esteem, they've been successful, and so I want you to imagine that person in your head, imagine that dignitary coming to your house, and you could imagine that they're around the table with you, and then you say, hey, let's see what's for dinner, let's see what we have for dinner, like if you came to my house, we'd have Cap'n Crunch, you know, or something like that. But maybe you have this dignitary, but you go and you open the fridge, and you're like, you know, and you look in there and say, well, I got some leftover pizza. We can reheat that bad boy. It'll be good, right? Maybe some of you like open up and like, oh, I got some meatloaf. Yeah. It's only been in here 4 to 5 days, right? If we scrape the fuzz off of it, it'll be fine. Hear me, we would never do that. You would not have that dignitary over. You would never, ever do that. But hear me this morning, how many of us give our leftovers to God? We give our leftover. Lord, let's see what I got. I got a little left here, but I have to be careful. Be careful because, you know, I may need it. So I got to be careful. I got to be sparing with what I have. I've worked for this. I've earned this. You know, I trust you about this much. So I'll just give you what little bit leftover I have. Lord, we made it through this month, so here you go with what little bit I have left. And how many know God's like, no, I want to be first in every area of your life. I don't want your leftovers. I want to be first in every area of your life. And again, I'll be honest. Finances are an area where we proclaim, Lord, I trust you with my soul for eternity. Lord, I trust that you will provide for me. Lord, I trust that you will heal me, but I don't trust you with my money. You know, that's mine. I'll trust you with everything else, but I don't know if I can trust you with that, right? Here's the thing. Again, this is just a piece of paper. This is just a piece of paper. It's neutral, but it's what it pulls at. It's what it pulls out of our hearts. It's what it pulls out of our hearts. It's the issue. God can care less about this piece of paper, right? It's not about this. It's about this. It's about this. And this always seems to pull at this. You ever notice that? This always seems to pull at this. And remember, the Bible tells us wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be. What you value. Want to see what you value? Follow the paper trail. You want to see what we value? Follow the paper trail. The tithe, the first fruit, is not meant to be legalistic, church. It's not meant to be legalistic. It's about saying and demonstrating, Lord, I put you first in every area of my life. God just wants to be first. That's all he wants for us. You should have no other gods before me. It's very clear right at the beginnings in the Bible. So it's faith when it's given first. Malachi 3:10, go back to scripture. It says this, I love it. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this, says the Lord. So first of all, what's the tithe? It's the first 10%, the first fruit, the first 10% of what you have. And then the scripture goes on. I love it. And it says this, and see, test me in this. And then it goes, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Wow. Think about that. I want you to see something, church, in this particular scripture. Notice it says bring. It does not say give. Notice he says bring. He does not say give. Why? Because we're not the owners. We're stewards. We are actually just returning what God has given us. We're just stewards. We're not owners. Tithing, first fruits, is actually just returning what God has given to us. It's not about giving. It's about bringing back to him. With gratitude, Lord, I am so grateful For all that you've blessed me with, I'm going to return it back to you. And there's a blessing or a curse that comes with it. I mean, if you read the scripture, it says, bring it to the storehouse, bring it to the temple. Here's what God set up. I'm going to bless my people. This is the way he's totally set up his economy. Number one, I'm going to bless my people. Number two, my people are going to bless the church. Number three, the church is going to bless the world. I'm going to bless my people. My people are going to bless the church. The church is going to bless the world. And it's going to be an incredible progression of blessing. On and on. But many times there's a blockage in the blessing, and usually it's around giving. Here's what I know about our church right here at Christian Life Center. You are a generous church. You're a generous church. And we are passionate as leadership. We are passionate about stewarding every dollar that comes into this church. Let me give you an example. Missions giving. We've made commitments as a church to support missionaries around the world so the gospel can go forward. The money, if I was honest with you, the money has not come in to support our commitments. Yet not one missions pledge has not been honored. Not one. It affects the general fund, absolutely. It affects ministry that happens here at the church, absolutely. But we will honor our commitments to reach the world. We will not take away from it because we believe we're not owners, we're stewards. And part of what God steward us to do is to reach the world. Listen, God says clearly to us, test me in this. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven before you. God says, put me first and I'll show you who I am. Hallelujah. Put me first and I will show you who I am. Let me add to this. It's not why we give. We should never give with an attitude that says, Lord, I'm giving so that you will give better back to me. You hear me? It's not about that. It's not about, hey, my attitude is if I give, well, the Lord's going to give back to me, so I give to you, Lord, so that you can give back to me. Here's what I know about the blessed life. Number two, check me out. Anything you expect, anytime you expect anything in return for your giving, it's no longer giving, it's trading. And trading does not qualify as worship. Anytime you expect something in return for what you give back to God, it's not giving, it's trading. And trading does not qualify as worship. What is the first fruit we see in scripture? You know what it is? It's a form of worship. It's giving back. It is, God, I put you first in every area of my life. If you were to look at the areas of your life this morning, how many of you would say, hey, God, I'm truly putting you first? If you were to look at the areas of your time, of your service, of your prayers, of your devotion, of your giving, could you honestly say, God, I'm putting you first? Because hear me, I know it's not about getting in return, but hear me, there is a byproduct of us giving to God. And you know what it is? It's blessing. It's blessing. And what does blessing mean? Does it mean, I mean this? Does it mean God blesses me, the only way I can really tell if God blesses me is if I have money in my pocket? His blessing is not always financial. Sometimes his blessing is just opportunities. Sometimes his blessing is favor. Sometimes his blessing is peace. Sometimes his blessing is health. Sometimes his blessing is your needs are met. Sometimes it's just joy in your life. Sometimes his blessing is just relationships. It's not always tied to a piece of paper. Malachi goes on to say in verse 11, I love this. He says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then he goes on and says, then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. What is God saying to us? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you provision, right? But it all comes down to putting God first in every area of your life. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Excel. Continue to move forward. Continue to do better. Continue to grow. But it says also continue to excel in the grace of giving. Listen, as your pastor, there have been times when God has challenged me personally to give. to step forward, to be generous in certain areas. And there are some times God would be proud of me, and frankly, you would be proud of me. And there's other times, not so much. Not so much. You know, it's like, God says, do something. I'm like, but it, you know that feeling, right? You're like fighting yourself, beating your hand. No, you know. And there's those times for me where I'm like, God wants to give me a role to play. He wants to give me a role to play, and I get into my own head, and I begin to say, is that God really speaking to me to give? You guys have all been there. God's been speaking to me to give. Is that really me? Is that me speaking, or is that God speaking? You know what? I think it's the pizza I ate last night that's speaking. Is it really me speaking? You ever wrestle with that? Like, I don't know. And you have this inner fight inside of you. You're supposed to give, and for some reason, greed gets a hold of your heart. It gets a hold of your heart. And I think God wants us to be generous, free to give with joy and with peace. So I will be honest, in my own spiritual journey, in my own spiritual life, this is part of it. This is part of your spiritual life. This is part of your spiritual growth for the blessed life. Listen, for the blessed life, you got to get this. Number three, last thing. Our giving is directly tied to our spiritual growth and health. They're directly tied together. You can't separate the two. We try to, but you can't. Here's what the scripture's telling us. Excel. Excel in the grace of giving. The question is, how much does money have a hold of your hearts? How much does it have a hold of your heart? So this morning I've titled this beautiful ladder, Our Generosity Ladder. It's our generosity ladder. And we're going to see, and you're going to see yourself somewhere on this ladder here. Yeah, you know, right? I don't know what anyone, let me just set this one thing up to you so you know. As your lead pastor, I don't know what anyone gives here at this church. I don't know. I could, but I choose not to. Choose not to know. So I can have a clear conscience as I'm talking to you today. I'm not looking at, some of you are like, he's talking to me. I know he is. He's looked at me. No, I don't know. All right? But every one of us are somewhere on these five rungs. Somewhere along here, we're going to find us. So my prayer is, wherever you are on the rung, excel in your giving. Wherever you find yourself today, excel in your giving, excel in your generosity. So let's talk about rung number one. I call it this, the non-giver. That's the first step, the non-giver. For whatever reason, you spend everything you have on yourself or your debt, right? You are a full-time consumer, right? Everything I get, I consume for myself, or for whatever reason, I've never been generous to give. Everything is on me. It's on my family. That's where I give. But this is where we all start. How many know that? Somewhere along the way, whether you were 5 years old or 25 years old, we all started as non-givers, right? And if you are there, if you're at that place, you've started rung one, I would challenge you and I would encourage you to take a step. Take a step. Move from being a non-giver to begin to invest in the kingdom of God. Then there's rung number two. Maybe some of you fit here. I call it the occasional giver. Maybe you're on that step. The occasional giver is like, okay, you know, you see a need. I'm a generous person. Let me give a tip, you know, like the tip. Let me just give a little tip, little here, little there, right? It's a step in the right direction. I'd say that. If you're on this rung, it's a step in the right direction. You're moving somewhere. But I don't think that's where God wants us to camp. I don't think it's where God wants us to live. And then there's the third rung, right? I call it the consistent giver. The consistent giver. This is where some intentionality is in place, right? Maybe you have a recurring giving. You walk in, every day you're giving $5, $10, whatever it might be, right? It's not the full tithe, but we do something. And maybe even at this level, we begin to get on the rung of the ladder. And if you're like my wife who doesn't like heights, you know, you're on that low and you say, I think I'll just stay right there. Because consistent giving is comfortable. I'm doing something. I'm involved. But I don't know if I want to go any higher because it gets a little scary. So I'll just stay right there at the consistent level and I'll be proud about it. Maybe this is where you start to give your first fruits on the consistent level, but it's maybe a little inaccurate sometimes. Because it's part of your routine, you know, you get the check, you give some. It's really an awesome place to be honest with you. But I don't think that's where God wants us to camp. And then there's the fourth rung. I call it the tither, right? This is where you're intentional, where you take the first fruits, the 10%, and you give it back to God. I will say this, when you get to this place where you're tithing, where you're giving 10% back to God, some people might say to you, are you crazy? What are you doing? Do you know what that church is doing with your money? That pastor is buying new clothes. Maybe. I do need clothes, but don't you understand? Are you crazy? Give it 10% of your income. Your secular investor Schwab guy would go, are you out of your mind? Giving 10%, that's where it gets a little crazy. But what's even crazier, right? When you get here, here's what you realize. When you get to the point where you're a tither, you start to realize, you know what? There's discipline in my life. When you get to that place, it changes the way money has a hold on you. And here's what I want you to realize this morning. This is not the ceiling. This is the floor. This is not the ceiling. This is the floor. I've heard people who reverse tithe. Hang on. Put your Pentecostal seatbelt on right now, okay? I've heard of people who reverse tithe, who they give 90% to God and 10% to live on. Wow. Now that's crazy, right? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying there's people out there that do that. They understand the blessed life. Who knows, and I just want to say this phrase to you, who knows how God can bless you as you move up the ladder? Who knows how God can bless you as you move up the ladder? One more. Call it the extravagant giver. Not egg extravagant giver, okay? Extravagant giver. This is where you realize, this is where God finds someone that he can not only give to, but he can give through. Not somebody he can just give to, but somebody he can give through. This is the one that God knows they will actually give it away if I give it to them. This is what I like to call, you know, the above giving, right? There's the church above. 10% is your tithe, but this is the area where we give above, like areas like missions. You know that's above your tithe. Building is above your tithe. Benevolence is above your tithe. Ministries that happen here, above your tithes, right? This money doesn't have, when you're at this level, this piece of paper does not have a grip on your heart. Sometimes we think, you guys have been here before, right? Sometimes we think, if I had more of this, I would do more. If I had more of this, I would do more. My question to you is, would you? Would you? Some of us have messed up with so little that we have, why would God give us more? Why would God give us more? Big mess with little, bigger mess with a bunch of it, right? God wants to know, can he trust us? We're not owners. We're just stewards. So where do you find yourself this morning on the ladder? My prayer for all of us is no matter where you are, it's not to condemn you, no matter where you are, that you would take a step. Hear me, Christian Life Center. I want to close with this thought. This is not about shaming you into giving. Hear me this morning. This is not about shaming you into giving. That is not how this pastor rolls. You know, some of you are still getting to know me. I promise you, that's not how I roll. That is not the culture that we want to create around here at CLC. If you feel shamed into giving, don't do it. Then don't do it. But if you feel like God is convicting you, God has challenged you to step up, then I would encourage you to do it. And as a church, I don't know about you, as a church, we want to be right here. We want to be extravagant givers because that's what God has for us. Every dollar that comes in is about advancing the kingdom. That's where God desires us to be. What about you? What step would God have you take this morning? Listen, as your pastor, say, man, as I said at the beginning, it's Palm Sunday and we're talking about giving. Listen, I just conclude with this. As your pastor, number one, I'd be doing you a disservice if I did not preach this. You know that? I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't preach this. Number two, and probably more importantly, I'd be held accountable before God. That means a lot to me. And number three, I know the benefits of walking in this life, in the blessed life. I've experienced it myself. God has blessed me. And I want the same for you. So how do we apply this today? Two simple things. Number one, I would say, give to God first. Whatever the number is for you, start doing something. Give to God first. There's something powerful when you get paid Come on, if you've been there with me and ain't served God anytime, there's something powerful when you get paid and the first fruit goes back to God. There's power in that, right? Pray over it. Lord, this is my first fruit. It is difficult to do this. This is my first, but I'm giving it to you. There's something powerful that happens when we set God first. And I will encourage you, begin to give God your first fruit. And as you walk that path, I promise you, you will experience the blessed life. You really will. Number two, practical thing I would say to you is this. Move to the next level with your giving. Move to the next level. Move to the next rung on the ladder, no matter where you are, right? Maybe you say to yourself, I'm on the extravagant giving. Well, you know what? Could get more extravagant. And watch what God does in your life. Move up the rung of the ladder. I don't know where you're at. Whatever that looks like for you, maybe you're down here, maybe you're in the middle. Whatever that looks like for you, move up the rung. Steps are scary. It's hard. But ask God, what's the next step for my life, right? We want to see you and our church grow in our relationship with God. And I think this is part of it. It's part of our growth pattern. It's part of where we are. I encourage you to step up, right? I know that we live in a world right now where things are crazy, and I hear sometimes the Christian talk of like, well, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know, you know, with all the wars and all the things going on, you know, I kind of got to look out for myself. And I would say to you, is that biblical? Did God ask us to store up storehouses? Or did he ask us to give and trust him to see what he can do, right? I encourage you this morning to trust God. God, where am I at on the ladder? I'll also say this to you. As a church, our giving is not where it was a year ago, for whatever reason that might be. But I also am encouraged that, you know what? In less than a year, from where you are today as a church, where you were in 2021 at this time to where you are in 22, you know that we've added 4 new staff people full-time to our congregation, including myself. You didn't have that a year ago. God's doing good things around here. There's an excitement in the air. People are being ministered to. But we can only be as successful as a church that says, we're going to come together and we're going to back ministry. We're going to come together and we're going to do what God calls us to do. And when we do that, God will bless us. We will see increase like we've never seen before because we're a group of people who trust God to do more than he could possibly imagine in our lives. So I don't know where you are on your rung. Maybe you're here, maybe you're there. But I would encourage you somewhere. Whether it's fallen off, maybe, and you know, it is possible in the church, believe me, it is possible to say I was here and go backwards. Wow. I almost make this guarantee to you. If you're wherever you are on the rung, Pastor Steve would kill me, but money back guarantee. I believe that God will bless you. You step up your giving, God's gonna bless you. God's gonna bless you. It's almost a money back guarantee. You give, you can come up to me and say, hey, listen, I gave and God hadn't done nothing. I want my money back. I'll send you to Pastor Steve's office and you can talk to him. But I believe that strongly in it, that God, if we give and we step up, God's going to bless you. You might not see your pocket full of $50 bills, but I can promise you, you're going to walk around with more joy and peace in your life. You're going to walk around more fulfilled than you ever have before. Because you've made a decision to say, you know what? I don't own this stuff. I just steward it. And I'm going to bring it back to the King of Kings and the Lord. I'm going to bring it back to the one who provided it for me in the first place. So this morning I did this. I asked our ushers, I asked Greg to ask our ushers, when we're done today, I want the buckets put back in the back. And maybe you heard, again, no shame. If you feel shame, I don't want you to give because you're shamed. I want you to give because God's convicting you and challenging you. But maybe you would say, hey, I missed my opportunity earlier on. You know what? You can still take advantage and watch what God will do. Amen? We are not owners. We're stewards. And I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. Blessed to serve God. Blessed to have him in my life. I'm blessed in all that he's done for me. And I know that he's going to bless you in return. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share it this morning. I thank you that you have given us the opportunity in this church to live the blessed life. And I pray, God, not for legalism, not for shame, not for guilt, but purely out of being challenged and convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of a pastor or the persuasion of words, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, that God, you would move on our hearts. I am thankful this morning for people in this first service who have given extravagantly. There are men and women who have built this church on the back of their giving. And this morning, God, we honor that. And Lord, I know there are people in this room who say, I've given so much, my life is blessed. I can identify with everything that Pastor is saying this morning. But maybe there are some in here that find themselves on a different rung on the ladder. Lord, may we be challenged to be people of faith, putting our trust in you and knowing, God, the blessed life is giving the first of what you've given back to us. It's not even about giving as much as it is about bringing. Because God, we don't own it. We just steward it. And Lord, I pray that you would find us, each and every one of us, good stewards. That we would steward everything that you've given to us with excellence, with integrity, and with character. And so Lord, I pray for the days ahead in our church, the ministry that's gonna happen, Lord. Looking for a worship pastor, God. I know that that person, that couple is there. May you bring them to us. May we have the resources, God, to provide that. May we continue to see ministry flourish. May we continue to see missionaries blessed and committed to reach the world for you. May we be a part of that. May we be a part of ministry that's reaching out to children and teenagers and to young adults and to married families and to senior citizens all across the board. May CLC be a church that is known for their extravagant giving of their time, of their talents, of their abilities, and even of their money. And so, Lord, move on our hearts today, I pray. Lord, we love you and we honor you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your kindness. You can write me an email if you want later. But thank you for your kindness. Remember today, blessed is he who comes, right? In the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Lord in the highest. Amen. God bless you. We praise you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.